Starting the year strong is easier and more delicious with Omaha Steaks premium prepackaged proteins. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and so much more. Omaha Steaks has unmatched variety and high quality proteins that everyone loves. And right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code AUDIO at checkout. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged proteins from Omaha Steaks. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland, with every bite backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Recorded live from Orlando, Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to The Dapper Danielle Show, starring Ian Wilson, Clarence Kelly. And now, here's your host, the one and only, the Dapper Danielle.
Hello, and welcome to the Dapper Danielle Show. I am the Dapper Danielle, and I'm joined by Ian Wilson and Clarence Kelly, my brothers up in Nashville. And I'm back here in Orlando, Florida. We are not filming on location this time. However, you never know. I'll be back up there for the holidays here in just a couple of weeks. So anything's possible. Anything's possible. We might get another episode out before the new year. But in the meantime, though, we are putting this episode out a day late. So sorry, but this past weekend was Dapper Day. And that took up my entire time. Plus, Megan the Magical Millennial is in town right now, and she is visiting me. So we've been running around all over the countryside.
Is she in your house?
She stayed in my living room for the first night. And now she is staying with a partnership of a DVC company over in Disney World for the rest of her trip. So she's like, she messaged me the week before, and she's like, Danielle, I messed up my dates. I don't have a place to stay on the first night. And I'm like, yes, you do. It's called my living room. Welcome to Casa de la Orangebird. And you can stay with me. And, well, it's so funny. The what was I going to say about that? Not the
Dapper Day.
Oh, Dapper Day. Yes. So Dapper Day, we actually got rain here in Orlando. And this is like the first time in, I want to say like 3 or 4 years that we've had rain on the winter Dapper Day. And it rained hard. And me and Megan luckily timed it really, really nicely on Sunday, which was the Hollywood Studios day. We were looking at the radar and Megan and I are like, we need to go now. This is the break in the weather. If we don't go now, we're going to get stuck in this and we are not going to survive. Because we just had our little tiny foldable umbrellas that fit in my purse. And well, as soon as I dropped her off and I'm heading back home to my place, comes torrential downpouring down to the point where I'm hydroplaning in the last like couple lights to be able to get to my place. And I'm text her as soon as I get home. And she's like, yeah, no, lightning hit something next to my hotel room. And it like one of those like loud snaps and either it hit the ground or a tree nearby. And she's like, it shook my entire room. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a good thing we got home when we did. Yes.
So were there a lot of people out for Dapper Day, or was the weather kind of making it a quieter event than normal?
It was very mixed. So I would say we actually probably had more people on Epcot Day, which is usually the opposite. Epcot took place on Saturday, and then Hollywood Studios took place on Sunday. And have you guys been down here with me for a Dapper Day yet?
No,
you have not. That's okay.
Not been dapperfied yet.
This was also Megan's first time doing a Dapper Day with me here in Walt Disney World. And she did say, she's like, this is very different. And I was like, yeah, it is. Why? And I already had my reasoning and my knowledge of why our Dapper Day was so different. And she's like, it's just like yours is bigger. Like more people are here for it, or it's more obvious that people are here for it. But it's not the same aesthetic. And I said, exactly. And
I feel like that could just describe Disney World versus Disneyland. Literally, yes. It's bigger. It's more obvious why people are here for it. And it's not the same aesthetic. Like, that's really the difference is right there.
I mean, you're not wrong. But like the main reasoning for saying it like that was because, yes, more people are actually involved. And they usually go way out in their outfits here in Walt Disney World. They're going like more Disney bounding. And more like holiday bounding. Oh my goodness! Some of the holiday outfits. Some of these ladies came walking in like I mean I looked like a legit Christmas tree with my star halo stacked on top of with my pearl headband and my giant bun, and like the dress. I was so proud of my dress, but mine was basic compared to some. Like there was like two different sets of girls that were doing White Christmas inspiration for sisters. One group did full-on cosplay wigs. So that way they were matching and identical. Or maybe they were actually identical twins. Could have been that too. And then another group, but they had the beautiful dresses. They had the giant fans from the Sister Sister song from White Christmas. And then other girls had, like, I don't know if you've seen the, like, 50s... like style fashion magazines where they have like the mini Christmas trees on top of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We saw a couple of those. A couple of girls did like, I don't know, maybe it was just these two girls, but they had these beautiful gowns on that were floor length, but in the back of their dresses, the train was folded and it looked like a Christmas tree. So then the bustle at the very top that was usually like right at the hip was a star. And so that way, when they trailed and walked behind, a Christmas tree followed them. And I was like, that was amazing. That was beautiful. But the reason why it's more obvious with us is that we have to either make our own outfits or we are not doing true vintage. We are doing vintage inspired in a lot of Disney bounding because Orlando does not have the same vintage fashion accessibility that California has, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain this to someone, and they're just like, maybe it was even Megan. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, think about it. California, Anaheim, right? LA, very well established and has a deeper rooted community well into the 30s, 40s, 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Orlando was dirt and farm field until after 75, after Walt Disney World suddenly popped up.
Yeah.
So I have to go to Nashville to be able to do my vintage shopping. I can't find anything down here, or at least nothing that's true vintage pre-1980.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just having to explain that to people and then be like, oh, I guess you're right. And I'm like, yeah, that's why we don't do true vintage fashion. Also, it's too hot most of the time. So to wear true vintage fashion, oh my, the wool, oh my goodness. While it would look so good, it was almost 90 degrees on Saturday. And people were already having a hard time in their little dresses that they were wearing, let alone a full vintage fit.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we all know that, you know, cast member salaries, cast member wages, not exactly high enough to really buy the highest quality vintage wear around either, too. Whereas LA has some deep pockets, some people, you know, that are going into the parks, which Orlando does too, but, you know, it's just...
But yeah. different demographics.
Different
yes.
demographics for sure.
Yeah, Walt Disney World Dapper Day is for the working man, and LA Dapper Day is for the elites.
Mm.
The 1%. Mm. The patriarchy.
I mean, no. I don't know. It's just different. So a little extra, a random history thing to Dapper Day is that it was started by one guy. His name's Jay. And it literally was just him and his friend group because he dresses vintage inspired all the time. That's like his everyday wear. And he hated going into the parks and seeing nobody else dressed up. But they kept getting compliments. And he's like, well, why aren't you dressing up? Why don't you dress up? So he created it as a meet and greet with his friends, just personal friend groups. And it ended up totally like those friends brought other friends, and it ended up being like maybe like 20, 30 people running around Disneyland with just a couple of outfits. And then it had such great responses that it just blew up from there. And everybody's like, we want to be involved. We want to do this. And now they've been doing this since about 2010, 11-ish. Really got started in Disney World in about 2012. That was when me and Jacqueline first went. And the rest is history. Now it's grown ever since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Dapper Day, very fun, but I think we should move into some news.
Mm-hmm.
I found a very amusing news story. Apparently, residents in San Jose
are saying
that a thief is targeting their Disney Christmas decor, and only their Disney Christmas decor. And I just think that's weird. Really funny. So there, it's basically one family. So, I mean, I'm intrigued to see if it spreads to more people and their Disney Christmas decor. But right now it's just the Steele family, and they claim that thousands of dollars worth of lawn figures were taken in the middle of the night. But it was only their Disney stuff. And let's see, they had it listed. The Steele
family was stolen from?
Lol.
That's pretty rough.
That is rough. Let's see.
That kind of reminds me, I feel like there was... Maybe it was just in Orlando, because I feel like it was a couple of years ago now, but I think it was a couple of years ago in Orlando. We were there for Christmas, and there was like some official like police bulletin put out because people were stealing the blow mold nativities that people were putting out. And I just remember and specifically like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were like getting stolen. And I don't remember exactly why, but I just remember thinking like, it's so ironic that like, hair like baby Jesus is being stolen by, you know, a criminal, basically. Like, just what a random like thing to steal. But it kind of reminds me of that, of like, you know, the Christmas decor. But it's just, to me, it's interesting as a thief, because you really have a pretty limited time to resell that. I mean, like, you know, let's say you steal a giant Santa Mickey. Okay, well, you've got to make a deal now in the next 2 weeks to sell him, or else you've got to hang on to him for another year, pretty much, until he becomes valuable again. Because in, you know, the summer, you're not going to be able to get full price for him. So, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting...
How many figures were taken?
Like, you know, was it stolen because someone needed money? Was it stolen because they hated Disney? Was it stolen because they're a Universal fan? You know, like, what's kind of the reason why these things were stolen? These Disney things.
My guess is, so I do think the Disney lawn ornaments go for more money. And
I mean, they retail at $200. Like I'm looking at the Lowe's website right now, and there's the Goofy this year, right? Of him sitting down on this little stool, and he's caroling, so that way he's not towering and he's not a wind hazard. It's like the giant skeleton having a full-size Goofy. All of a sudden, the wind picks him up, and then you go, hi-yuck, like right into your window. That wouldn't be great. But it's also so he lines up with the size of the Donald and the Mickey Mouse. And on Home Depot's website, the Goofy retails at $199, and the life-size Mickey, which is 6'75", y'all. Mickey in the parks is not really that tall. Maybe put him at like 5'1", and then you got it, but not this tall. And I mean, that does include the ears too, so it makes him a little bit taller. He retails at $298.
Wow.
So I am wondering how many figures were taken, Clarence.
But how do you I'm just imagining you pull up in your van, open up the trunk. How do you take a 6-foot Mickey and a 3-foot high or 4-foot high Pluto and Donald? Like, you need a whole truck for these things.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm thinking they were out of town. No. Right? They did the ultimate...
they were home.
Home alone.
Yeah.
They were
home? So let me go get into this a little more. They have a video from their Ring camera. And
it wasn't the elf on the shelf.
No. It was, we had most of our Disney decorations on the lawn here. We had Eeyore, And then they had a Hot Rod Minnie and Mickey. And they had just got Dumbo that night and put it out.
Okay. Those are the blow molds.
Yes. It looks like most of them are blow molds.
It's the Eeyore one I showed you, Clarence, at Lowe's.
Maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, he posted on Ring. I got another post by someone clearly in the same neighborhood that had said the same thing happened. And I noticed a Disney item as well. And then from there, I'd just been checking on Nextdoor and everything, too. And that's when I noticed there was a theme of this individual coming in and stealing their Disney-themed stuff. Oh, so it's one neighborhood, it sounds like. And someone's just targeting the Disney stuff to probably to try to resell it.
And it's just crazy. The blow molds. Okay, this is a little bit better. But the blow molds are actually really reasonable. The Dumbo one is is going for about $60.
Okay. I mean, they're saying here they had bought ones from 100 to 300. Yeah. So
maybe it's like true vintage versus new or something like that. It's like there, cuz it did say that they took years to collect them all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the older ones. Right. There are some newer ones, like the Eeyore one in particular from Lowe's is also about $60.
Yeah, I don't know that the Eeyore one is new. They said the only new one this year that they got is the Dumbo one.
Okay.
So, and the Hot Rod Minnie and Mickey, I don't know what that one is.
Interesting. So
I feel like, I mean,
was it true vintage?
You know, of course. Don't want to. I mean, you know, there's desperate times, there's desperate people. I understand, you know, there's probably grace for everyone. But I do feel like there are, like, certain things where it's like, wow. Like, it's like it's like Marley and Marley tormenting Scrooge, where it's like, you know, if you, like, throw out the orphanage on Christmas Day and are, like, excited about their frostbitten faces, it's like, okay, there's, like, that's, like, a different level, you know, of, like, just meanness, you know. And I feel like stealing Christmas decorations, it's like, wow, like, that is the most, like, Grinch thing you could do around the Christmas. Just, yes. Total Grinch move, you know what I mean? I mean, and yes, I mean, I know there's, like, common themes of stealing presents and stuff that, like, usually happens around this time of year as well, but I don't know, it's just like, to me, it's like, I don't know why this is, like, totally not fair at all, but in my head, it's like, if you steal a wrapped Christmas present from underneath the tree, you are, like, 1,000 times more Grinch than if you stole that exact same item on December 26th once it's unwrapped and just sitting, like, you know, the Xbox is just sitting under the TV and you steal it. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, that's just, like, a regular theft. Like, that's not really, like, a total mm-hmm. Grinch move. But, like, mm-hmm. if it's wrapped and you steal it or it's a Christmas thing, I'm like, that is, like, big time.
That is
big Grinch points.
I fully agree because you're not just stealing. Oh, I know. You're not just stealing the item. You right. are stealing an experience. You are stealing the fun of unwrapping something, the excitement of not knowing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You are stealing that whole experience as well as the item.
Right.
I think that's why it feels worse.
I would agree.
First the paddlefish thief this year, now the blow mold thief. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Which, it's killing me that we still don't have a clear update on the paddlefish. Right. So there are no arrests that we know of have been made. We have friends that have worked at Paddlefish and still that know the management there. And they all assume that it was an inside job, an ex-employee, and which it makes sense because they're the only ones that would know the inside of that restaurant. Yeah. Very, very interesting.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
Well, the Disney blow mold thief is probably still at large there. And
probably. So if you live in San Jose, put your Disney blow molds, either chain them up or put them inside.
Did you say train them up?
chain them up. Yeah.
Chain them up. I think you said train them up. I'm like, what are they going to do? Have a Rocky montage moment to be able to get swole for the holidays?
Sure. Yeah. Just make them exercise a lot. Give them a rifle and teach them how to defend themselves.
This is California, Clarence.
Oh, not an open carry state like
not
Florida.
A standard ground state. Okay. How about this? Move somewhere else. Get out of California.
Not Tennessee.
Yeah, just don't come here. We've got enough of you already.
Same could be same for Orlando.
Literally,
Orlando at least is stay in your ground state.
I mean, true.
We were in, Jacqueline and I went and saw a production of White Christmas, actually. So it was like the Broadway version. And there's a scene where General Waverly's daughter is like, or granddaughter is there, and she's like just saying a prayer one night. And her family's all from California, and she's going through it. It's a very funny moment because she's like praying for everyone. She's like praying for the family. She prays for like the great state of California and all the people there and stuff. And then at the end, she's like, and I pray that you would bless Tennessee because there are so many Californians here as well. And everyone in the theater just died laughing. I thought it was so funny.
That is, you know, that's a line that they added in.
Totally.
That's
yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was just very good, like, awareness of where you're at.
Have we talked about this on the podcast as random side tangent?
Not really. What, California to Tennessee?
For those that don't know, at post 2020, a lot of Californians did move out of California, and a lot of them went to Tennessee, where Clarence already pre-lived and saw this. And then when Mom and Dad moved, and when Jacqueline and Ian moved, they of course did not come from California. They came from Florida and Alaska. And the first weekend y'all were there, Ian, and you guys moved in, didn't you go into a bookshop and they asked where you were from?
Like so many places. I mean, I went to a bookshop, we went to Trader Joe's, like a couple of places when we were first there. And it was like, you know, where are you from? And it was like, oh, you know, we just moved here. And everyone just like, you know, just has that look on their face of like, you just moved from California, I bet. And it's like, yeah, we just moved from Alaska. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, cool. Well, welcome to Tennessee. Here's a free bag. Like, we're so excited you're here. We're just glad you're not from California. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. There's some serious anti-California vibes.
So if you are from California and you're planning to move to Tennessee, lie. Don't tell people where you're actually from. Say you're from, I don't know, one of the Dakotas when we're over there.
I would say, though, at this point in the Nashville, Tennessee area, I mean, you've got kind of a good, maybe not a majority, but a pretty strong minority that's there with you. I mean, if you're in a parking lot of a store or something, I mean, I would say it's like 30% of people to 40% of people are not from Tennessee, and probably 15% of those people are from California anyway. So it's like, you know, just hide with everybody. Eventually you'll outnumber the locals.
Hide in plain sight.
True. Well, you're in and out very soon there, and it'll feel just like home.
It's like that. It's like the Incredibles whenever all of the superheroes go into hiding.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're like, they're walking among us. Everyday people. Yeah, I do think though California has had their first, like, since 2020, this past year has had their first population bump.
Really?
Like people moving back or moving into California.
Work in person mandates are resuming. So everyone who wants to work for startups, tech companies, and all of that are having to come back and actually work in California instead of being able to move other
places. Because they're one of our friends mentioned that in the animation world is that that's why they can't do a lot of freelance outside of the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have to be either X amount of days in the office or within the state, technically.
Taxes.
Yeah. Freaking California. I mean, if they're going back over there, bye. Good riddance. I love you guys, but from afar.
Love you. Or what's that audio? It's like, I got you, man, from right here.
From right here. I'm going to enjoy Tennessee. You know, take your smog back over there.
They'll drive electric cars, though.
It's also the smoggiest city in the country over in LA.
Accurate.
Despite that.
All right. Well, speaking of smog, and things that eat up our planet's resources. What is this? Did McDonald's do an AI ad and I missed it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You may not have seen it because it was McDonald's Netherlands. It had a moment online, especially on YouTube, and it got so much backlash that McDonald's fully pulled their advertisement. It was a fully AI advertisement. It was done by a creative agency called TBWA, which is actually the same creative agency that worked with Apple to make their Critter Carol Christmas ad.
The one that we like so much?
The one with the puppets that I thought was like, oh, this is so good. It's probably like Hempson Corporation. No, it's actually TBWA, which is the same company that did this McDonald's one. And I feel lied to. Yeah, it's crazy because like Apple, I think this was shocking to me. Apple is getting glazed for how like they're going against the grain. They're not using AI. They're doing all practical, which is great. I love practical ads. The Critter Carol is probably one of the best advertisements I've seen all year, if not in the past decade. Mm. It's legitimately cute. It's entertaining. And the product isn't so in your face. It's like, it's just these puppets filmed on an iPhone and it's done well. Even the new like Apple TV, logo was done practically and it was done by TBWA. And it was TBWA/MAL, which I do think MAL is the Apple branch. I don't know that for sure though. This was TBWA and another company for McDonald's. I think it was, let me go to the article real quick.
So this is making me wonder if this company, right, is like, hey.
The Sweet Shop was the other company that worked on it.
Okay. So then this production company is like, hey guys, we can work with you. We can create whatever kind of animation, whatever you want. You just got to give us the budget. And McDonald's is like, yeah, brah, we'll give you 50 cents and a coupon for a free quarter pounder. And they're like, bet it's going to be all AI. We're not going to put any effort into this. And you're going to get what you get. That's it.
I don't think that's part of it because they were like, the people who made it were like, oh, we were up all night
generating, what, typing in prompts?
Prompts. It was so much work. It wasn't AI. Oh, it was us. And
no,
it's like, no. Yeah, let's see. The studio behind it says they hardly slept for several weeks while writing AI prompts and refining the shots. AI didn't make this film. We did. So ridiculous. Comments have since been turned off.
That is pretty funny.
It's stupid. So it's for McDonald's Netherlands. It's the Netherlands contingent of McDonald's. And I think, too, what got a lot of people mad was the song in it is like, it's a play on The Most Wonderful Time. And they change it to like, it's the most terrible time of the year. And it's like, and
it's kind of a sad app, like just watching it's not a very happy, uplifting, like celebrating the spirit of Christmas type thing.
But then, you know? Who in McDonald's approved this?
I don't know. I do think there's an account
there was an executive that approved it. They had a pretty stellar resume. They just came from Cracker Barrel, actually, as head of the marketing department.
Stop! And they just
came over, new opportunity, you know, no reason why they left Cracker Barrel at all, but just looking for a new opportunity.
You're so bad.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account. I'm going to call it Twitter. I don't like calling it X.
Yes. Twitter/X.
At Art of SpongeBob. I don't know if they're actually affiliated with SpongeBob, but I think they summed it up pretty well. They said, the message of this ad is the holidays suck and its solution is to spend as much time in McDonald's as possible. Forget your friends and family. Have a Big Mac. Which is legitimately like what the ad is portraying. And I think that honestly, like if it was just AI, it'd be like Coca-Cola and people would be annoyed about it, but it wouldn't get as much backlash. But because no, it was
it's
also
getting more backlash because Coca-Cola did a behind the scenes video. And then the artist like, that's not the point. You didn't do nothing. It's that it's the other audio of here you go. I hope you're ready for nothing. And yeah, no.
I think, but McDonald's having it paired with the negative messaging makes it that much worse.
Yes.
And so I think that's why it's received so much backlash. And rightfully so. Like, get that stuff out of here. We don't need more of it. We don't need the negative attitudes paired with AI. It's kind of like, here's everything we hate about the world right now. And we're going to use it to try to get you to buy stuff.
Not even
which
the world.
Is
just,
already makes it worse. It's like, yeah, okay.
Not even the world. It's just Netherlands. Like, these are all the bad things about the Netherlands. Like, people in Orlando don't have these problems because it doesn't snow. But, yeah, I feel like they could have easily done, like, it's the most terrible time of the year for the first half of it with this guy, like, struggling through. Then he goes to McDonald's, has a Big Mac in the middle of his holiday shopping, as we all do. And then it's, like, switches to it's the most wonderful time of the year. And then everything goes right after that. It's like, okay, better messaging. Maybe we forgive a little bit of the AI. I still don't understand how billion-dollar corporations don't have the budget to make real commercials, but that has not been explained to me by anybody yet. But
do you, I have another rant on that too.
I don't know. To me, it's just I already don't like. I agree, Clarence. I already don't like the fact that it's like focusing on all these bad things that are happening at Christmas time, which it's even in the ad too. It's funny, they're not even really like bad things, you know. It's just kind of part of the season. It takes a little bit longer to go through traffic.
It's called winter. It's a bummer.
Yeah, your dinner burns. Great, have something else. Like, it's not, you know, I don't know, it's not this like everyone's, you know, your one experience doesn't have to be this perfect thing. It's about just enjoying the time with each other, whatever that looks like. You know, sometimes your sled breaks, but you don't just quit sledding. You go on down the hill on a broken sled and have a good time anyways. You know, it's
not even broken sled. You take a piece of cardboard or you take half of an inner tube that you had from the summer. You know, like, I don't know.
I do think there is a deeper philosophical thought here.
Oh,
where
please.
If the core of your celebration for Christmas is consumerism, it will always be stressful. If you are not celebrating Christmas for a greater reason, be it religious or not, then it's not going to be good. If your only reason to celebrate Christmas is presents and Santa Claus and like buying stuff, and then it's never going to be fulfilling, and it's always going to be the most terrible time of the year because you're stressed about buying stuff.
If it's not about family, and it's not about not even just family, but just finding joy in the little things, and like the reason why you would have a Christmas tree. And you would cover it in lights and you would cover it in tinsel so that way it glistens and it shines is the whole idea that it's shining light in the darkness, right? Mm-hmm. If you are not finding that light in your holiday season, in your winter season, like that's why it's placed in the middle of December to be in the middle of our winter. So yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. Accurate, Clarence. Accurate.
Yeah, and excuse me. I got a frog in my throat now for my coffee. I think, and two, for us, like, we are a faith-based household. We are celebrating the birth of Christ. And it's like, even if we don't have Christmas presents, that is still the core of our celebration. So, like, we, like, anything beyond that, like, is just extra. It's fun. It's like, if for heaven forbid, we get to a point where we can't afford Christmas presents, we can't afford to buy things for each other, we still have the core of our holiday and of Christmas and of celebration and of a reason to gather as a family to celebrate this thing. And so I think when the core of that is just to buy and receive gifts, it's always going to fall short. And it's always going to be like the most terrible time of the year.
Well,
so
and, like,
these
even
people,
for
need to watch Little Women and start taking some Christmas feasts over to their next door neighbors. And you'll learn how to have a really good Christmas really fast if you start doing things like that, as opposed to scrambling around trying to find a last minute deal on something that someone probably doesn't need. And
I don't want your knockoff earbuds from Ross. That's really what it is. But even like my friends that are of different faiths also, or are not religious at all, they like, we do a really good job in our friend group of making sure, even it's with family that you choose also, it's not, maybe you can't go home to celebrate the holidays with your family, maybe there's some kind of situation going on there, but we are celebrating with my friend group of the chosen family, right? And it's all about hanging out with friends, finding joy in each other's company, and that is our holiday spirit kind of thing. So I do think there's a way of finding that joy in the holiday spirit, but yes, it's goodness, it's not about the consumerism. And I think the conversation on AI is really showing these companies that's not the core for most people, right? Mm-hmm. And the one that's bothering me right now actually started in Tennessee. It's Morgan & Morgan.
Oh, the billboards?
The billboard. If y'all did not know, and I know you have seen these ads because they are like every 2 miles in Nashville. And I have one just outside my exit here in Orlando.
Oh, they're in Florida too? Okay.
Yes. I was like,
in America, Clarence, obviously.
Wow. I thought it was like just the Tennessee branch that was using those billboards.
No. I found out this is the nationwide ad. And I know you all have seen this billboard, and it's a billboard of fall. It's like fall la la. Yeah. And it's Santa slipping on milk, and because it's supposed to be like an accident law firm, right? Mm. And this Santa is completely AI generated. Mm-hmm. If you look, and the only reason I'm going to get really close to the camera, the only reason why I know this is because I've been stuck in Orlando and Nashville traffic and I can just stare at this billboard. They think nobody was going to notice because everybody's zipping by. Nay, nay, you put the most billboards in the most highest tourism locations and I'm stopped there staring at it and I'm saying, F you, Morgan & Morgan. And this Santa only has 4 fingers on his left hand.
Amazing.
And if you look really close, he doesn't even have teeth. It's like, he's like, oh, but the teeth are gone. He looks like Pops Clarence at the age of 99. our great grandfather, wow. Rest his soul. But the man didn't have teeth in his old. Good times, Pops. Dang. And then Santa, if you look at the milk, it looks like clay. It doesn't look like real milk. There's nothing. There's barely anything in the glass. And the amount of milk that's on the floor does not match the proportions of what was in that glass. And it's just such bad. It's yellowed. It has the yellow tinting of AI also. And I'm like, you didn't even change the coloration or anything to try to like fix the photo? No. So I've decided that we're not going. If there's some type of incident or accident that's happening, I now will no longer call Morgan & Morgan. We're calling Dan Newland. You know why? Because he's using those cringy people on the photos that they're pointing right here and saying, Dan won me like so many millions of dollars. At least it's a real human. I mean, some of them are not fit for advertisement, but they're there. They're real. And I know that's genuinely won that millions of dollars.
Dan is committed to authenticity.
He's yes, he is.
As rough as you look, as cringy as you are, I'm throwing you on a billboard. You got money? I'm gonna make you famous.
But I am more loyal to somebody like Dan than I am to Morgan & Morgan. Because you did one AI Santa. And I mean, Morgan & Morgan has always had like really cringy advertisements, right? And you're like, oh, this is bad Photoshop. Now we just got rid of the intern that did the bad Photoshop and we just went straight to an AI prompter.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. So yeah. Clarence, we're going to have to cut this for the bit, and this is going on the social media platforms.
Okay. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan & Morgan & Morgan and Morgan & Morgan and Morgan & Morgan.
Literally,
Morgan.
Yes.
Every Morgan.
Lots of Morgans. Anyway, let's move on from Morgan & Morgan & Morgan & Morgan.
Hashtag not sponsored, by the way, by Dan Newland, but you know.
Dan, you a real G. You real G, Dan Newland.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Mm-hmm. Before we get into our main subject and main topic, which does have a little more of a holiday feel to it instead of me just calling out law firms that are using AI. First off, there is one newer member to the Refresher family over on Patreon. It's actually Lisa, who is one of my first Patreon followers from the UK. And she started off at one of the basic tiers, and then she upped her membership from like the first tier all the way to the top tier. And for that, Lisa, you get a shout out. Thank you so much for being part of the Patreon already for, I think, 3 months now. It's been 3 months.
Lisa, and OG.
One of my OGs. Lisa,
I feel like that was really like, I mean, obviously, Danielle, you know, you can feel how you feel about it, but I feel like that says a lot about me and Clarence, because Lisa joined and was like, well, I know Danielle, so I'll do like the lowest tier, but like there's these other guys on this show, I'm not sure. And then we won her over. Like, we, you know, she was already convinced on Danielle, but we was really, she? I think, landed.
I don't know if it was you or it's because I kind of talked about the giveaways I'm doing in December, y'all. Actually, if you are listening to this episode, by December 15th and 16th, like that week, actually here later on this week, next week, actually, I'm going to be pulling for a couple of giveaways. I'm giving away a lug bag. I have some Chris Lou pieces that I'm going to be giving away. And it's all for certain tiers. So some of my nicer, higher priced items are only going to be exclusive to the top tier of the Patreon. And I do have some other fun little things that will be going to the other tiers. So I will be pulling all those. So if you haven't joined the Patreon, make sure you're joined before December 15th to be included in that Patreon pulling. Because I want to be able to pull those people and get them shipped out. So you have maybe something open by Christmas if you want. I mean, you might know what you're getting, but it's still something fun, you know?
Yeah, you can re-gift it.
That too. Wow. That too. If you're like, oh, I don't want this, but I know somebody in my family that would, you can definitely do that.
Just in time to re-gift for Christmas.
You know, I won't feel bad about it. It's all good. It's all good.
You know, you're helping them with their Christmas shopping.
Exactly. And then the other one I do want to acknowledge is Stephanie, who has been listening so loyally over on listening on the podcast. She listens to us in her car. And I think that's so amazing. We do want to acknowledge that the audio from the last episode of us talking about the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade was a little iffy. Yes. And the reasoning why was because I had my little tiny microphones that I use for my videos. We weren't in our proper studio setup with our own personal microphones, and why we were coming in so much clearly this episode. But those little mics, Clarence and Ian were holding, and Clarence was moving on back and forth between the two.
We were sharing a little lapel mic that was on a Christmas ornament, and I was like, the little felt beaver.
It was a felt beaver. And so what's funny is that if you were listening on the regular podcast format, wherever you're listening to your podcast right now, whether it be Spotify, Apple, are we on Audible? No, we're not on Audible, but
I believe Audible's the book platform. We are on Amazon
the I Love Disney's Magic Kingdom and I Love Epcot will be available on Audible though. And that'll be just me, though.
I don't
know
if there are podcasts on Audible. So,
I don't think so.
But we are distributed to Amazon. So
Amazon
would be,
too?
Yes. Audible is an Amazon platform. That's why I say that.
So if you're listening on the podcast side, it was maybe a little bit harder to understand what was happening. The full video, there is a full video of us recording in the living room together, and it makes it a little bit easier because then you can kind of see read our mouths a little bit, and it helps you follow along. So if you want to, you can also be watching us over on YouTube. Hello, YouTube family, if you're currently watching right now, thank you so much for being here. We do appreciate it. So just saying, there is both options, but we understand that a lot of you bring us around in your car, and we do appreciate it. So thank you. Yes.
Very thankful for all of the listeners. Did we want to cover the mousetrap news story or no?
No, because, okay, if you want, so y'all, Clarence and Ian have just recently discovered mousetrap news. I went through my settings because so many people were seeing mousetrap news' videos over on the socials. And there's a couple of videos that went semi-viral, which means that I get tagged in the comments and my notifications are inundated with just, Danielle, is this true? Danielle, is this true? And I've done it before of making a video being like, guys, let's think logically about this. No. And so I blocked myself from a lot of stuff. They can still see my stuff, like, but I can't see theirs. Like, I went into the filters and I'm like, do not show me this information. Do not let me be tagged in this information. So, yeah. But yeah. Clarence and Ian just discovered them, and Clarence thinks it's hilarious.
I think they're hysterical. Some of the headlines are the funniest things I've read. Like, better than anything I could come up with.
And what's funny is Clarence, Leanne, who's one of our Patreon followers also, I saw her in the park the other day, and she's like, after meeting your brother and then listening to him now on this podcast, on the Dapper Danielle show, it is so funny. She thinks your satire and your humor and what you find amusing is so funny and so on brand for you, and really cancels me out. It's that, I don't know, we're the yin and yang, Ian is yin and yang, and then you have me on one side and you on the other, and then Ian's the balance in between.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. Like what is it? Free Beer Day is officially coming to Disney World. Disney replacing World Showcase with 13 colonies. Disney World may be killing you, what we know.
100% of people die after visiting Walt Disney World.
Exactly. A Trump Tower resort is coming to Disney World. That one's the funniest to me. I know someone fell for that, and that makes... I love it.
It was fact-checked. That one was, like, on some news site actually, like, being...
No!
Of like, oh, is this true? And then the news site was obviously saying, like, it's not true. But it's funny because it's, like, the fact that it made it to that point means that, like, it so, obviously escalated, you know, and people were sharing it,
enough people
about
believed it.
It's so funny. You got
me
it.
And
really
Mickey Mouse. Though. Mickey Mouse. What a guy. I love Walt Disney World. You know, Disneyland is a little too woke for me. But Walt Disney World, what a park. I'm going to put a Trump Tower right next to the castle. Right there, right next to there. Mickey Mouse, he came over. He said, what a great opportunity for us and for Walt Disney World. And, I mean, we like that. We like Walt Disney World. It's okay.
That was a little too good of an impression, Clarence. And that's probably what they thought it sounded like in the whole conversation. Now they're going to take your sound bite and they're going to say, oh, this is what Trump said.
As soon as I finish my ballroom on the West Wing, I will be walking into Trump Tower in Walt Disney World, Orlando, Florida. It's okay.
No! Anyway...
I love doing a Trump impression. It's one of my favorites to do. It's so fun. And I'm really, like, I have practiced it for years because I want it to be really good. I'll just be in the shower and be like, I saw Crooked Hillary walking into
a McDonald's,
the Crystal Palace, McDonald's in the Netherlands, and she took a dump in the McDonald's bathroom. It was so bad.
Clarence, stop. We're going to get demonetized. Oh my gosh, you're going to make me start coughing. We got to move on to our main focal point.
Yes, let's move. Let's move on.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
Okay, besides Crooked Hillary taking a dump in the McDonald's bathroom in the Netherlands, what we're really here to talk about today is actually a true tradition that has been part of the Disney company for many, many years, and Disneyland just had their celebration. Disney World is still ongoing with their celebration, and it is the Candlelight Processional over in Disneyland and in Disney World. And what I think is funny is that the Disneylanders, this is normal for them. They're like, okay, that's great. And then you come over here to Disney World, I'm like, oh, you do it more than like one day out of the year? And I'm like, yeah, that's normal for us. So I want to give a little bit of an explanation, a little bit of a history, and then also kind of give a little bit of a difference between the two, if that makes sense.
Again, right? If you're coming to Disney World and you have a question, the answer is Disney World has more. It's just whatever the thing that's going on, there's almost always more at Disney World.
Kind of like why there's more Dappers at Disney World than there is in Disneyland.
Yeah. It's just there's more.
There's more. Right. Mm-hmm. So first off, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the very first candlelight processional is a tradition that's been dating back over 65 years in the Disney theme parks. And it actually started like when Disneyland celebrated its first holiday festival in 1955. But the choir group was, they were Dickens carolers, and there was only 12 of them.
Hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was a really, really small little group. The director was from University of Southern California and performed throughout the park. And guest choirs were invited to perform daily on Main Street USA and on the bandstand. And it was rechristened and it was rethemed and it was called the Christmas Bowl for the season, which I thought was interesting.
Christmas Bowl.
The Christmas Bowl. So this was through 1955 to about 1956. So only for about 2 years. So it was just random. It was sporadic. These carolers would come in and out on Main Street. It was very much a vibe, right? It was very, very cool. Well, in 1957, the event grew larger as choirs followed the Christmas Around the World parade, which was a thing. There is recordings of it, and it is very, very amusing. And the processing, so they would go around, they would follow the parade and together from Sleeping Beauty Castle into the plaza, which is around where the flagpole is. And they originally would go around the flagpole and sing around the flagpole, kind of like how the lowering of the flag happens still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got a little too busy. And due to the size of the crowd, the singers were unable to form a circle.
Oh my gosh.
So I love how this was like, oh, we're going to start this. And then they get to the circle and they're like, what are we going to do? So they deviated. They're just like, you know what? We can't do it there. We're just going to change the plan. So instead they stood around the Disneyland band and performed in an informal manner. So it was like, well, we can't get to our section because the group's too large. And so I believe the Disneyland band was on the stairs and then they kind of just joined around the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then it grew. It became like a more formal event. It happened a little more often. And now it only happens one weekend out of the entire holiday season over in Disneyland. It just happened this past weekend in Disneyland. Who was the storyteller that was there?
I really love telling the story.
No, it was not.
Disney World.
Stop. No, it was not. Hold on. I am double checking who it was.
A lot of candles here. More candles for me than any storyteller in the past. Goodness. That's what they're telling me. A lot of candles.
And there were in the fields shepherds. They
keep
the sheep.
Oh my gosh. Guys,
probably
we are going to get demonetized.
Keeping watch over their flock by night.
Keeping
and lo, an angel of the Lord.
Storyteller.
Like angel of the Lord.
In Disneyland. Oh my goodness. And I know some of you are screaming the answer for me because I do not know off the top of my head. Oh, it was Benjamin Bratt, who is an actor known for Law and Order. And he was in Coco.
Mm.
Yes.
Trump would have been better.
Fellow crime TV actor, Danielle.
Yes. Well, not me specifically, but yes. So he was the storyteller. They only did two performances, I believe, throughout the day. And then that's it. And so they do it right there in front of the Disneyland train station. To be able to get a seat in front of the stage, it's all Disney executives, Disney higher-ups, Club 33 members, or members of the cast member families that are performing in the show.
Mm.
That's the only way to get a seat. And then they have the main walkways can be for regular guests, but there's no like normal seating available or anything like that. It is So it's a tradition that still has been staying around. Walt Disney did support the candlelight processional all the way up until his death in 1960. Is that right? Or 50? I think I'm getting my dates wrong.
I don't know. When did Disney die?
65?
Was it 65? I thought it was the 70s.
Or 66. Hold on. Too many dates off the top of my head.
Was it 67?
No, stop!
1967.
Oh, when I, really, oh my gosh, when I tell you, that has been the bane of my existence here at Walt Disney World. And you know what? Under Armour's going it, like, owning up to it. I was in Disney Springs, and they chose one of the jerseys that's 6'7", and they put it in the window. And this, like, I'm walking, and this 7-year-old beelines it in front of me and yells at her dad from across the walkway in Disney Springs, 6'7", take a picture! And she's taking a picture in front of the Under Armour signage, going like this, and next to a jersey in Under Armour in Disney Springs. And I'm like, what has happened to our culture and to our world? This is the downfall of man. Anyway.
To the downfall of man is not 6'7".
I don't know. It's making me question my life, though.
No, the downfall of man is AI. The 6'7" has nothing to do with the downfall of
humanity. It's not happening. Okay, when did Walt Disney...
That's pretty funny.
Okay, I was correct. So he passed in 66. The last show he saw was in 65, and Dick Van Dyke was the narrator. So he was the last one that Walt Disney got to see. But Walt Disney loved the Candlelight Processional. He attended every single year up until his death. And in Walt Disney World, though, we started ours as soon as we opened in 1971. It was part of our first holiday season in 1971. And it happened in front of the Cinderella Castle. It was a part of Magic Kingdom until 1994. I was kind of surprised about this. I thought this was a little bit earlier, but I did not get my dates correct. It moved to Epcot in 1994, and it has been performed at the American Gardens Theater ever since then.
Hmm.
And I think that's when the Holidays Around the World was, like, we already had Holidays Around the World. We had the Storytellers in the 80s, but this really ramped it up and was like, no, this is the new thing. We're pulling it from Magic Kingdom. That's when the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Parties was starting around that time. So they took the one thing and then they moved it to Epcot to add to Epcot's entertainment.
That's what I was going to say, is I do feel like, I don't remember all the dates right now, but I feel like when we were researching for I Love Epcot, that there was kind of a pretty big overhaul of the Christmas. Like, Disney has celebrated Christmas in Disney fashion for pretty much as long as the park's been open.
Right.
Disneyland's been open. But then over in Disney World, there was kind of this, like, I don't know, there was, like, all these, like, Disney Christmas parties that were kind of happening way earlier than I kind of assumed would be happening. But right. Then I feel like they kind of got revamped in the late 80s, early 90s, kind of, and got reestablished kind of more into what we kind of, where we see them today, kind of, you know, with, like, the different events happening in Epcot versus Magic Kingdom and stuff like that. So I just feel like that was kind of a rehaul period for some of the holiday events. So it makes sense that Candlelight would have moved over then too.
Right. Like, the first, I think we said this even in an earlier episode, is that one of the first Very Merry Christmas Parties that was, like, a one night only thing happened in 83. And then it just kept adding on dates and kept building and building. And finally, it's like, okay, this is too much. We got to move. We got to reorganize stuff. And now look how big the holidays are. And it's been crazy and fantastic. But over in Epcot, though, how we've been doing it for the past many, many years is we do multiple shows, multiple performances, and multiple shows a day, too. And we have multiple actor narrators, which is amazing. This past weekend was Ashley Eckstein. And we, like, I was looking at Cole and Megan, and I was like, do we go? And the show we were going to walk into, it was torrential downpouring. In the American Gardens Theater, y'all, if you did not know, you cannot have umbrellas open in the theater. So to not block the people behind you in the view. But you can wear a poncho. And there were so many people there that were like, we are here for Ashley. And they were prepared. They were so prepared. They had these giant ponchos on that covered their entire bodies. And the first half of the stage or the first half of the audience is covered. So you're fine if you're under the cover. It's the back half, if you're in the random other standby queue that is not covered, you have to have a poncho.
So you got to get there early because I feel like at least in Disney World, the queue for Candlelight Processional, especially as you get closer to Christmas, it starts filling up. I mean, hours and hours before the show. So if it was going to be rainy, you wouldn't have needed to be in that queue 2 hours before you're thinking about going to that show.
Right.
Else you're not going to be undercover.
The front half is reserved technically for the dining package. Mm. So if you are not part of the dining package, there's no guarantee that you might be under the cover.
I will say, I think I do know someone narrating.
Oh,
this year.
Yes, I think we do.
Oh, that's right.
I do. Ms. Lauren Daigle is going to be a narrator on December 16th and 17th.
This is her first year. She's brand new.
I genuinely think that will be a very good one. Like, and if they don't let her sing along with the choir, that's going to be a real missed opportunity.
I mean, there's a couple of singers that they're not next to the microphone, but they step back and they're singing along because immediately behind the singers are going to be the professional singers that are part of Voices of Liberty, right? And then the next wave is cast member choir, and then they have the high school and college choirs there also, or the local choirs. Oh my goodness. After the last show last night, we were in Epcot, and it was, oh my goodness, it's the actress that plays the blind woman in Deadpool. I cannot remember her name, but she was
night?
The...
Huh? You said last night. Last night.
And her line was crazy. I mean, she has a much longer movie history as an actor also. But hers was crazy.
That would have been Leslie Uggams?
Does that sound right? Yes.
She was last night and today.
Yes. She stopped doing 6-7 in the background, Ian. And her line was crazy, but as all of her high school kids, as soon as they exited, they have to come back out on stage over by Italy in the Germany pavilion, and all of a sudden high schoolers everywhere. And they're like, let's go to the Japan pavilion to eat now. And then they start running towards China. And I did say to the girl that seemed to be the oldest, most mature one in the group, and I said, they're heading the wrong way. And she's like, what? And I was like, you're heading towards China. If you want Japan, if you want the Japan pavilion, it's behind you, two pavilions. And she yells to her friends, guys, we're going the wrong way.
Maybe they wanted the food at the Chinese pavilion but thought it was Japan.
No, they wanted to go into the gift shop at the Japan pavilion. I'm like, you're going to be so disappointed if you don't find your Japanese sweet.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so American. I love it. That's like, that's America right there.
In America. Can't tell the difference between the Chinese pavilion and the Japan pavilion. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. But this has been a highlight in Epcot. I am so happy that we do our Candlelight Processional multiple times, and that it has been part of Epcot for as long as it has now, and part of Disney World. And I love that it's easily accessible, right? You can have multiple different actors. There's a chance for you to see Jordan Fisher was here a couple days ago. Ashley, Jordan's was really popular. He had quite a group. And speaking of singing along, he started his because they're allowed to do like a little bit of an ad lib monologue in the beginning of their set, and he started riffing, "Ready to begin," telling the story, and because he sings the Happily Ever After song,
yeah,
and everybody was like screaming and hooting and hollering just for that one liner that he just threw in there. And a lot of the singers will join along, yeah, with their professional singers in the back, but they won't be right on the microphone. They'll just be stepping back, singing along, and the cast members eat it up. They love it so much.
Mm-hmm. There's two really big names from CCM in here this year.
Yeah?
Lauren Daigle being the first one, and then Joel David Smallbone, he's from For King and Country. And both of them are new this year, which I'm surprised.
There's quite a few new people this year.
Mm-hmm.
which is good.
I only mention that because I worked in CCM for so long. Yes. I worked on Lauren Daigle's last record.
Yes. Fun fact, y'all. Clarence and working in the music industry is like, I know that person.
I was in the studio one night with her and the rest of our label team getting the first listen to the record before it came out.
That's cool.
She brought a king cake. This is my Lauren Daigle fun fact. She brought a king cake because she's from Louisiana. That's where she lives. She does not live in Tennessee. I got the baby.
No!
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, it was goodness. In my piece. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. The, random other musicians that you know, and we talked about this, is that we ran into Katie Nicole, who is
fabulous. Yeah.
We're mutuals on the social media. She's gotten into the Disney universe, and I'm like, yes. And Clarence worked with her professionally in the music industry, and we ran into each other randomly while shopping, and we're like, Katie. Oh my goodness, good to see you in real life.
I've been all over the place with Katie, done a lot with Katie.
yes, and she misses you. She's like, great. Oh, Clarence is so good. All right. Well, that's about it for the quick little history blur that I have about the Candlelight Processional. I do want to have a question to our listeners and our followers. I want you to leave a note either in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or even in the comments if you're listening wherever you're listening to, on Spotify or wherever. Let us know if you've seen the Candlelight Processional and who your favorite storyteller was. I kind of want to get a poll and hear about who you've seen in the past. They don't have to be from this year. There's a lot of really good storytellers from previous years. And I know some of you are very biased and have your favorites. And you, as soon as that Candlelight dining package drops, you guys are right on it. And you guys are securing that reservation. So let us know in the comments of who is your favorite and who you like to listen to.
And I think there's a difference between who your favorite actor that happens to be telling the story versus who you genuinely think tells the story the best.
That's true.
You know?
Interesting.
I want to know who people genuinely think do a great job telling the story, not so much that like, oh, they're my favorite in this other show that I watch, so they're my favorite here.
Right.
You know?
And because we've experienced that, too. If we've seen a couple of them and we're just like, oh, I mean, they're great actors, but they're not great storytellers. But there was one that we saw. Mm-hmm. He was a country music singer. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he had that deep, low voice. And I was like, this is amazing. I could listen to this man talk the entire time. And I was like, you are a great storyteller. And just the way that he talked, too, it was that low voice. So then when he ended his sentence, it like faded. Does that make sense? And then they went into the song. And I was like, this is beautiful.
Oh, Trace Adkins.
Was that it?
I think so.
I think that's right.
He did. Yeah, he's kind of the only country singer that has done it. And he does have a pretty deep voice.
I think it was him. We've seen Trace Adkins before. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Georgiana agrees in the background as she's making noise. She's like, Dad, where are you? You need to finish recording. I need attention.
I know. She really does. She needs a check-in every couple of minutes.
Y'all, Georgiana is the dapper niece, Ian's daughter, and my niece, and I love her so much. Y'all do not know how much I'm obsessed with this child. I was even telling Dapper Mom of how there was a picture of her. And every time I see her, I'm just like, oh my goodness, she's so beautiful. She makes my heart hurt. And there's a video of her first crawling, and she's learning to crawl under the Christmas tree, basically. And I'm talking to Mom on FaceTime, and I'm like, Mom, I cannot explain how many war crimes I would commit for this child. Like, I would go to war with another foreign country and entity and defend my niece. And she's like, that's a little aggressive. I'm like, no, it's not. I love her so much.
Probably the most financially responsible thing you could do is to continue to live in Orlando while she lives in Tennessee. Because if you lived here with her,
you would not have room for all the presents I would keep bringing her.
Yeah, it would just be every time.
It'd like, just be every time I see her, I'm like, Auntie Danielle's here with more gifts.
Yeah, it would be problematic. So at least here, there's like the constraint of suitcases where it's like, it has to be able to fit in the suitcase. Probably two suitcases max. Like,
have I been figuring out how to see? That's the thing with Christmas now, and the magic of delivery, right? Is that if I have something that's too big for my luggage, I can ship it, and it'll be there for Christmas time. So, goodness, it's been very difficult. I've been trying to hold back because I know that if I get too much, Jacqueline, my sister, would be like, Danielle, no. And I'm more fearful of Jacqueline's response than I am anybody else's.
That's funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anything else we need to add? Oh, we do want to actually, I do want to promote a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So y'all, it is currently the middle of December. And I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I'm realizing as I'm looking at the calendar, Ian, our book drops in a couple of weeks.
That is crazy. I know. December,
isn't that weird to think about?
January 6th, right?
January 6th. So one.
January 6th, 7th.
Two, three. Shut up. Four. It drops in exactly 4 weeks.
Wow. That is kind of crazy.
I feel like we've been saying that this is like, it's so far off in the future. Like, we're still working on this. No, y'all. The Epcot book drops in 4 weeks. It is currently available for pre-order wherever you get your books. Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever. We will be doing a signing shortly after the book releases in the middle of January. So more information to come on that too. We will be posting that on my socials, on the Patreon, all that good stuff. If you want to be part of the signing, and we will be able to sign both Magic Kingdom and the Epcot book. Very, 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 very cool. To answer other people's questions, I know it's still in March, but yes, we will be a part of MegaCon. We're still figuring out to what extent, but we will be a part of MegaCon. I've already gotten a lot of questions of that during Dapper Day. And the Spirit jersey, it's so funny. People have been wearing my Spirit jersey now that it got cold here in Orlando.
Wonderful.
And I'm so honored, and I love seeing my Spirit jersey out in the wild. Y'all, it is still available. It is not available at Disney, though. It is a spiritjersey.com exclusive. Just search the Dapper Danielle, and it will pop up. I think there's only like one, the base color, not the sparkly version, but the nice blue rich color that's Bibbidi Bobbidi Beard's favorite color is still available. So make sure you go and order that before the holiday season. Actually, I think you have to order it here within this week into the middle of next week to be able to get in time for Christmas, mm-hmm. if you would like it. And yes, I have signed a couple of the Spirit jerseys. If you want to bring that to the signing also, I can do that too. And just thank you guys so much for your support ongoing. And I really, really do appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Wonderful.
Well, with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening. All in our, this was a little more of a rant-a-tooey episode, a little more all over the place. And I am so sorry in advance for all the impressions that were not made by me, but
night, night, sleep tight.
Stop!
Dream.
Don't do that.
Churros tonight.
No, no. Hold on, I'm gonna read
random
that.
Disney things in the middle of Trump Tower that you probably don't care about, but I'm gonna tell you anyway.
You need to stop.
6-7.
Let me redo that. Let me cleanse y'all's palate from that. Until next time, night night, sleep tight, dream of churros tonight. We'll see you guys later. Merry Christmas.